I'd invite you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, as we will carry on with our series in that great letter that Paul has written. And again, standing amazed at how God is connecting all of the dots this morning for us in light of what Dan has shared and then what Ed has shared as well. What a blessing to serve together in this field that God has prepared for us. Again, let's go to the Lord in prayer once more. Lord, we have sung, open our eyes. So do that, we pray. And I am reminded of the fact that I am weak, but you are strong. And so in my weakness, grant me to be just simply a channel of your strength, a manifestation of your strength, pouring through the things that I'm going to say and share from your word, and guide my thoughts and actions and so on, that they would be spirit directed. And for these individuals who are weak as well, enable them through your strength then to hear what they need to hear, that they might be individuals who are clearly manifesting that they are vessels of honor, created by you, for you, for your glory, to display your name to those around us, to this dark world in which we live. And so guide us for your name's sake, in Christ's name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and following. Allow me just to read that passage of Scripture for you, and then we will exposit it a little more in detail. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. A very powerful passage of Scripture, and I think it is a passage of Scripture that could be presented to us as a very critical measure and doctrine for us to understand as it relates to the functioning of the church. If you were to picture a two-edged sword as it relates to ministry, on the one side, the one edge of the sword, you might find the preaching and the teaching of the truth of the Word of God. On the other side of that sword, you're going to find the fellowship of the saints and how the saints interact with one another, and thus presenting to us the two-edged sword of ministry. And so it is critical for us to understand this passage of Scripture this morning, and particularly in light of the trends that we see in modern-day living for us. And that is brought to us by a man by the name of Charles Reich, and he wrote in a book entitled The Greening of America. Here's what he said about our culture, and see if you think it fits, and I believe it does from my perspective. Modern living has obliterated place, loyalty, and neighborhood, and given us, and here's two key words you want to remember, has given us the anonymous separatedness of our existence. The family, the most basic social system, has been ruthlessly stripped to its functional essentials. Friendship has been coated over with a layer of impenetrable artificiality as men strive to live roles designed for them. Protocol, competition, hostility, and fear have replaced the warmth of the circle of affection which might sustain man against a hostile environment. America, he says, has become one vast, terrifying anti-community. That's the way it has been. And I would say that that is true of the, in many cases, of the church within America as well. There is this sense of being autonomous, anonymous, and separate from everyone else. We want to come through the door. We want to come in anonymously and just kind of do our little thing quietly, and then we want to leave anonymously as well, and don't get too involved in everybody's life, because that's a little scary and afraid. I don't like that, and I don't want to do that. I want to be separate from everyone else. And thus, we give a reflection of the fact that we are giving into what has been called consumerism. Many of you know what I mean when I say that. In other words, we come wanting our autonomous space, and then we want church to be what we want it to be, to meet us and our little need, whatever that may be. And thus, we want to see pragmatism, that is, whatever gets us to the end, it matters not how we get to the end. Marketism, we look at whatever marketing is doing, whatever's happening out in the marketplace out there. We use those same methods here in the church. And then the corporate idea, it's a business, it's not a fellowship. All of those things seep into the church and cause great destruction and damage. And you and I, all of us, I can guarantee, each one of us are succumbing to some portion of those items this very day. We've come with expectations of what we want to see here this morning. And thus, we need to be careful on these things and learn what Paul has for us to say from Galatians chapter 5. And so with that, allow me then to just give a little bit of a brief exposition of this text and then bring it home to some application for us. I want to begin at verse 13, where we clearly have been called to freedom. Paul says that. We looked at that last week. Only he says, don't turn your freedom into that opportunity of the flesh. Don't let it be the launching pad, as we learned last week, for our flesh to be engaged and activated. Many things you are free to do, but there are many things that it is not right for you and I to do. That's what we learned for sure. But through love, serve one another. That's the main thought I want to present today. Through love, serve one another. Now that's a command. And that is a command that is to be continually carried out in our lives every day of the week, moment by moment throughout the week. And it is a command that you and I, in order to fulfill, are going to have to be actively engaged in to get it accomplished. And Paul is saying we must serve one another with this kind of love that God loved us. This is an agape kind of love. That's the Greek word for it. And in our language, we use the word love as a general term. And in the Greek language, they use several different terms for what we say is love. There was phileo, there was eros, there was agape, all of those resembling different aspects of love in that culture and setting, and in ours as well. And so here we have the deepest form of love, that self-sacrificing kind of love. And its root, the word agape here, the root word for that, is a verb. This is the noun form, and the root form is a verb. It's an action word. And out of love, in a noun sense, we're to serve one another. There's the verb sense of it all connected together as well. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. That is love. The text would go on to say we are enemies and hostile to God. We are evil, wretched individuals in and of ourselves. But God, in His love for us, the deepest, the most sacrificing kind of love He could express, He did so. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, many of you will know that chapter as the love chapter. That's what some people have called it. But I would actually say that the book of 1 John speaks of love in a far more broad and specific way than 1 Corinthians, for sure. If you go with me to 1 John chapter 3, for example, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. What foreign kind of love is really the thought there. What out of this world kind of love has God bestowed upon certain individuals whereby He calls them His children. That's an amazing thing, particularly when you look at the depravity, as we've got a great illustration of this last week, as Brother Kurt prayed about, of depravity, of which all of us are completely capable of, right? That's the reality of it. And to think that God, the sovereign, holy God of the universe, chose to love certain individuals. That's out of this world. That's beyond my thinking. That's foreign kind of love. That's agape kind of love. When an individual does not deserve anything, and yet there is grace and mercy and acts of kindness poured out upon that individual. That's the love we're talking about here. And if you go to verse 16 of chapter 3, as it relates to our command of how we are to love, out of love, serve one another, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, we know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. That's Christ. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Wow. What a passage. Laying down our lives for the brethren. Going beyond the limits of normality. Sacrificing our lives for the brethren. And by the way, sacrifice isn't easy. Have you ever noticed that? When we talk about sacrificing for the brethren, oh yeah, hey, that's great, I'll do that. Yes, we need to do that. But that doesn't mean that we do it within our comfort zone. Sacrifice means out of your comfort zone, sacrificing for the brethren. We know this. Verse 17, whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. And then if you go over to chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, you're going to clearly see, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's a sure mark that you're a child of God, that you're loving the brethren, that you're agape loving the brethren, that you are sacrificing.